You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is June 22nd, 2021. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast talking about NXT and the Diamond Mine era has begun.
Yes, finally.
Spoiler for people that didn't watch, cover your ears. As we went off the air tonight, Roderick Strong with his faction, which included Tyler Rust and Hideki Suzuki with Malcolm Bivens as well as their mouthpiece. Diamond Mine.
Stuff. I just wish they would have not announced that they were going to show up tonight. It would have been a little more impactful.
Yeah, I agree because, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there who forgot about it, but it was like 7 o'clock and it was the main event, and I was just thinking, where are they not going to show up, or where are these guys? And yeah. Then it's like, if it was a surprise, I think it would have been a lot better because once, like, Kushida was alone in the ring and you knew Diamond Ring was coming, or Diamond Mine was coming, it's like, oh, this can only be so big. Like, they're not...
Right.
Bring back Brock Lesnar to attack the Cruiserweight champion. So, but you know, it wasn't going to be as big. But, you know, it was cool how they did it.
Yeah.
And Roddy, I thought Roddy looked great. We'll see where it goes. But again, NXT announced that we were going to be seeing them tonight. And I just wish, just nitpicking here, I just wish they were not because it would have made more of an impact. But it was really funny because earlier on in the night when Adam Cole, like, walked away, I was like, yeah, he's going to go find Roderick Strong and join him in that, you know. I quit NXT club, but I guess not.
Yeah. So there you have it. Diamond Mine. Diamond Ring.
Yay.
It's good. I mean, but yeah, like, I think.
You don't look too excited about this, Glenn.
Look, Frankie Monet, love how she debuted. I normally like how NXT does these, the surprise attack. Oh my God, who is that? Like, that's not my favorite way to introduce somebody. That's right. All I'm saying.
Yeah, I would say overall it was underwhelming. If I was to, whether it was over or under, I do think it was kind of fun because it wasn't. They didn't put much into them debuting. They just had these guys in hoods jump out and attack Kushida, and then when you saw who they were, it's like, oh, okay, that's something.
Okay, Alfred, but they got matching jackets, so at least they put some money into their brand.
Well, go to the WWE shop. I'll get me a Diamond Mine matching jacket.
Let's go.
They're like the Wanderers. I thought it was, I think love the faction as a concept. The debut, just not my favorite way to do it. You know, I think about it, the way they built Hit Row, you know, and whatnot. I think with this attack, and I think it would have been more impactful. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, again, this is really in the weeds, but it's like they're attacking at the end of a cruiserweight match between Kushida and Kyle O'Reilly. Like, have them do this at the end of that Fatal 5-Way at TakeOver. Have them do this in a segment with Cross and Adam Cole. Like, really make a statement, you know? I think, the build to this and the intrigue and the mystery was good. Oh, and they've got Malcolm Bivens, one of the best talkers in the business. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this feels like the method by which they were introduced does not quite match the talent of the group, and I think they could have showcased that in a better way to make more of a splash.
Yeah, considering what the build was, it was a long build to Diamond Mine, and I feel like we've been talking about this for well over a month, maybe even multiple months. And I will say, I don't know who it was in the chat, but somebody, or maybe it was a couple of people in the chat, did say that this might be something with Malcolm Bivens and Tyler Rust. So, you know, we have the smartest audience in all of wrestling, and I just like to shout them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, before we get into the rest of NXT on USA, what's going on in the news?
Well, quite a few is going on in the news, starting with, so last night on Raw, they surprisingly announced a Hell in a Cell match on TV, and this was just hours after a report that Fox was not very happy, or NBC Peacock, NBCU was not very happy with WWE for giving Fox a Hell in a Cell match. So then you saw that on Raw, and I think a lot of people speculated this, but it was kind of made official by PW Insider. They're reporting that the main reason we saw Hell in a Cell match last night between Bobby Lashley and Xavier Woods on Raw, which is very rare, was because they wanted to kind of keep it even with NBC Universal and Fox. They wanted to keep their television partners happy. But I will say, in a related story, the Raw number came back. I was shocked. 1.719 million. That's down a little over a percent for a Fallout show with Hell in a Cell on TV advertised at the top of the hour. Raw only did 1.719. No NBA competition. So you guys surprised with that number, starting with you, Issa?
No, because they didn't announce the Hell in a Cell ahead of time. Like, granted, it was social media, but the Roman Reigns, Rey Mysterio, we knew was happening. Where with this one, they kind of, whether it was on top of the hour, people don't tune in right away. So people didn't know that this match was happening ahead of time. You know, shout out to Bobby Lashley for fighting two Hell in a Cells in a row and looking very dominant in both of them. I thought it was a great match, but I actually thought last night's Raw was not as horrible as what we experienced the last few weeks. So I thought that we'll do bigger numbers just based on the fact that they tried a little bit last night with the qualifying matches and the Hell in a Cell, but they should have announced it ahead of time. And I get it. You didn't have a storyline. You literally just got out of the pay-per-view. So yes, it did feel very, we're going to do a Hell in a Cell here too, so you guys are happy. It felt that way.
Yeah, and shout out to Bobby Lashley for wrestling two Hell in a Cell matches with a chunk of his arm missing, that big, gnarly chunk. So that was a lot, very tough. And I'm actually very surprised that the number did this, not only because it was a Fallout show, but because they actually, and I agree with you, I thought Raw was actually pretty good, all things considered. I mean, we have to grade it on a curve, but it was a very action-packed show. They had a lot of matches advertised throughout, a lot of upsets and whatnot, and then that big Hell in a Cell. But, you know, maybe they need to start making a habit of announcing these things more in advance. If it's going to be this big announcement, if it's a big Roman Reigns match or Hell in a Cell, you want to get the most out of that. I think the lesson over this past 7 days is you have to give people advance warning more than just the couple of days before or during the show.
Or maybe make it a habit to book good shows, because people might not want to stick around for 3 hours to watch that Hell in a Cell match. You know, I mean, overall, I thought it was great, but I didn't have my hopes up. You know, as the show progressed, I was like, you know what? I don't hate this show, but people are not used to that. So why would you stick around for 3 hours just to watch a Hell in a Cell that doesn't really have a good storyline going into it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Another story, Damian Priest, he could be on his way back. They're saying that he's expected back anytime now. It could be as early as next week's Raw. There were reports from the Wrestling Observer newsletter that his back might be hurting him, but an update, Fightful Select said that those rumors of a back injury are not true. And he's perfectly good to go and could be on his way back. What do you think about that, Issa?
You know, I'm a big Damian Priest fan, and I'm rooting for him to be in Money in the Bank. I was very surprised that they didn't announce him in a qualifying match last night. Hopefully he is back soon. I do remember him and Morrison almost not being added to the WrestleMania match because of injuries. So possibly, you know, he might have something going on. I'm a big fan of his, and I cannot wait to see him back on TV.
Do you guys think that this helps his chances to win Money in the Bank, possibly, Glenn?
Oh, maybe. That's an interesting thought.
How many people are they going to have in the ladder match, though? Maybe they'll put him in a program with Sheamus. That's something else that I would also like to see.
That would be a battle royal, but with a ladder stipulation to win.
Oh, there you go.
Why not? I mean, these keep getting bigger and bigger, it seems like.
Yeah, just go crazy.
Yeah, what else?
Final news story. This is kind of a weird story. Scarlett of Scarlett and Karrion Kross is rumored to be receiving a main roster tryout possibly later this week. Of course, there were those reports last week that Scarlett and Karrion Kross were backstage. Karrion Kross actually worked a dark match for SmackDown tapings, and he was not with Karrion Kross, or not with Scarlett. And now there are reports that the main roster officials are now kind of taking a look at the pair individually, and there's a chance that Scarlett could be a member of the main roster. What do you guys think about this?
I personally have mixed feelings about it because I feel like Karrion Kross gimmick confuses me a little bit. Are you a dark, deep person, mystique with Scarlett? Are you a warrior? Are you a badass, an ass kicker? I feel like I get a lot of that out of him. But at the same time, I feel very Lana and Rusev with the two of them, that they're a package deal and they shouldn't be broken up. They just need to define his gimmick a little bit more.
Yeah. I think it's a loss. But then again, they do need more women. But is it that they need more women on the main roster, or they actually need more women's matches and storylines? I don't think...
They need more women, too.
I think more women definitely on the main roster. Especially, I mean, you see tonight on NXT, and they've got, like, three contenders for the NXT women's tag team. They don't even have three tag teams in the main roster women's division. So, yeah, they can use more women.
Well, there you have it. Stellar Justin Lopez, $4.99, saying Hideki Suzuki signed with WWE as part of the coaching staff, so I have no idea if I actually be wrestling as part of this faction. I think a faction with a coach and a trainer is a very interesting idea, and that would be very fresh and original.
Agreed.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else in the news?
Nothing else in the news.
Okay, there we have it. Marcus Thomas, $5, saying, side note, happy
look at that.
Alfred, thank you for the positive energy. Do you all think we will get Dark Side of the Ring episodes of the NXT call?
Thank you for the positive energy. You think we're going to get Dark Side of the Ring? How about the Thank you for the birthday.
When was your birthday, Alfred? Is it today?
It's actually tomorrow. It's midnight tonight, nice. June 23rd. A very important wrestling day, June 23rd.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Happy
thank
birthday.
You. Thank you. I really appreciate that, guys.
How are you going to be this?
Austin 316 promo.
Oh, there you go. How old are you going to be this year?
35.
Ooh. Wow, exposing his age like that. Yeah, you don't
it's all downhill from there.
Agreed.
I remember 35. Oh, those were good times. So let's see. Tonight we open with Adam Cole versus Carmelo Hayes. Banger of a match. Why did they have to have Carmelo, quote, the John Cena ruthless aggression? I feel like it really detracted from this for me. It's a good match. Well, I don't know. It's kind of like if you're in a band, right? And you want to be like, hey, I'm in this amazing band, and it's just like our big hit's a cover song. You know? It's like, I don't know.
I could see that. WWE loves calling back and doing stuff like that. I only liked it because I didn't see it coming. I didn't know where he was going with this. Usually it's kind of hokey the way they do it. And this was a little hokey, but it was a fun little callback. Hey, listen, if they're letting him do this, maybe they see a lot in him. Maybe they see a next John Cena in Carmelo Hayes. And so they're kind of letting him do the John Cena line because nobody else has gotten to do something like this in terms of calling back the ruthless aggression.
You don't think if they saw a lot in him, then they would have advertised the match? Because we opened the show knowing who Kyle O'Reilly was wrestling, but we didn't know who Adam Cole was wrestling.
So, right. I actually don't think I'm very discouraged in terms of how they use him because these now two matches, and I don't like that NXT does this in particular and that they bring up new people and they have them lose immediately. So people are already used to seeing him as a loser. Yeah. So even if they do see him a certain way, you bring a guy out there and you beat him like that, people are going to see him as a loser.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the match was a lot of fun, but when is it fun to see Adam Cole, you know, wrestle? On my notes, I wrote the Panama Sunrise looked brutal and Adam Cole killed Ruthless Aggression with that finish. He literally killed. I thought he was dead. I was like, Jesus Christ.
And that was all Carmelo Hayes. The reason it looked brutal, he sold that fantastically. And that's what he was doing this whole match. In that, here's what makes me nervous about him is his best trait, now that I've seen him for a couple weeks here in NXT, is that he is an incredible seller. The way he makes people's moves look really good. But a lot of times WWE will see that and they'll just insist on having this guy take all these bumps and get beat up week after week because it looks cool. So I hope that doesn't happen to Carmelo Hayes. But he looked amazing selling tonight and taking some moves.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just tough, though. You don't want to be seen as a cover act when you're coming out the gate. You want to establish yourself, your own personality. You know, really, that's what hurt the band Orgy, is they launched with that New Order cover of Blue Monday, and everyone was like, that's a pretty banging cover of Blue Monday. What else you got? And they were like, this is not as good as your banging cover of Blue Monday.
Well, there you have it. They need to learn from the past.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, it's tough, because you come out there and you, like... Remember, okay, here's like the ultimate example of this. When I was at Mania in Dallas and you had the New Day out there and League of Nations, that, and then you had Mick Foley and Stone Cold come out and stuff. And like, oh, okay, they're, you know, everyone does their finisher on a League of Nations, then they're getting down with New Day, and then Stone Cold's like hitting a stunner on Xavier Woods. Like, it's like saying, you think these guys are stars, but it's the past you should be celebrating. You know, what we did in the past.
It's wrestling. Yeah, it's wrestling. That's what they're known for. I mean, they're still, you know, trying to go back to the past because they cannot get new things over.
Yeah.
It's not just wrestling, actually. This is just the DNA that we live on. Look at the movies. All they're doing is just remaking old movies. Like, there's not a lot of original things happening. Yeah. But listen, the ruthless aggression thing happened so long ago that maybe some people don't know what he was talking about, and it might just be a new thing now.
True. It would actually be, though, to have a wrestler come out and literally, so it's a new wrestler, and all their catchphrases are just old catchphrases. Yeah. They're doing like Austin 316. They're just doing the greatest hits.
Maybe that's Carmelo Hayes' promo. Maybe next week we get the Austin 316 promo word for word.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. But no, I like Carmelo Hayes. I think he's been very impressive in what we've seen of him thus far. I think he's had a really good presence. And he's got the energy. Yeah, I just think it's a little too much to just completely say exactly what he said. Just call that.
When
call
he just
that.
Called up to the main roster, he'll do the pipe bomb. You know, like, there you go. And I just redo all of these promos. That might not be a bad gimmick, actually. You know, somebody that says, hey, if it worked for them, it should work for me, and just redo what old wrestlers did.
It's true. We should just nothing but coverage. They'll be like the Smash Mouth of professional wrestlers. Covering other people's hits. But good match, though, but Cole won, and that's the problem. You can't. Okay, so granted, Cena did not win his match against Angle. Different time, different debut, but I think, man, a win over Adam Cole, like, that's really, that would have been a great solidifier. That, like, I'd take that over a great match in and of itself.
It's funny, and it kind of carried on the momentum of last night, because last night was so filled with upsets that I was still in the mindset, like, well, you know, maybe we keep these good vibes going. And that certainly didn't happen here. And I was actually surprised at how short Carmelo Hayes is, the same exact height as Adam Cole, it looked like. And maybe because he was in there with Kushida, I thought he was much taller than that.
Yeah. We had announced it's going to be Cole versus O'Reilly 2 at Great American Bash. Saw Frankie Monet hanging out backstage with Aaliyah and Jesse Kamiya with Robert Stone there.
Mm-hmm. How did they get that dog to bark? Was that improv, or did that, because the dog barked at
you can at get Robert your dog Stone. To bark on you can CGI. Get a dog to bark on cue. I can get my dog to bark on cue.
How really? What do you have to do to it?
It depends. So sometimes I do a signal. There's something that bothers him that I do with my hands. So if I just do it, he'll bark.
Okay.
So maybe they had a treat and he was just waiting to get his treat. But you can train a dog to do that. And Prince Presley looked like a very good dog. So
if I look at my cat Simon long enough, he will meow like angrily at me. He's like, "Why are you staring at me?" And it is not a charming, cute meow. It's a meow that's only going to get creepier and more unsettling as he gets older. It sounds very upset. Very upset. But this is a good promo segment. I love Frankie Monet. I think she can do no wrong. Mackenzie Mitchell backstage with Zoe Stark, saying she saved Io Shirai last week because Shirai gave her a big break in NXT and she was paying it back. Shirai ends up appearing, says she respects Zoe but doesn't like her. Shirai walks off. Stark says mutual respect is all they need. So
great. The tag team partners that don't really like each other but are paired up together. It's a story that we've never seen before, right?
Never before.
So ever. Unique.
So original. We were just talking about original things, right?
And next week they can say, we don't just set the bar, we are the bar.
Hey!
Yo, I like the bar. Well, I love the too. Bar yeah. so much.
No, I'm just saying, let's have this all be just cosplay classics. Wrestling history.
Which Why one is Sheamus and which one is Cesaro, though?
Well, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think EO is the
EO would be the Cesaro, I think.
Cesaro, yeah.
Yeah, much more finesse offense in terms of prettier to look at in terms of her offense and the way she does her
What are you saying? Sheamus is a beautiful man.
No, I'm not talking about the
move. Let us be clear before the tweets start coming.
Clearly on my birthday, I'm saying her offense is very pretty to look at. But Sheamus will tell you he's a pretty man. That's the thing now, is that he's got the mask thing.
That mask thing, too, is working for me. I love Sheamus.
I think he means it ironically, like, you know, or like, bad meaning good. So we got the video package on LA Knight, saw what happened last week. LA Knight sitting by the pool, saw him winning the belt, turning on Ted DiBiase, brings up Cameron Grimes. Man, still not feeling LA Knight. Can't wait for him to lose this
really time. I kind of liked him tonight. What? I actually kind of liked the promo when he said Cameron Grimes, I thought you care about the money, but you only care about this old man. I don't know. There's something about the way that he carried that promo that I was like, all right, fine. You're making some valid points here. He looked good. It was fun. I think he's, as a heel, like fully turned heel, because before I was very confused about where we were going with him and Ted DiBiase. Now that we know exactly what's going on, I like him more. He feels more defined to me now.
I'm not the biggest LA Knight fan, and I've had some not so nice things to say about him on these podcasts, but I am slowly beginning to do a 180 just in terms of this feud alone. I just like everything about this feud. This feud has been really good in terms of establishing the babyface, the heel. I thought his promo tonight was, there was nothing wrong with it. And I think he's slowly starting to finally come into his own in terms of his own character. And because it was, for once upon a time, it was like week after week, he just reminded you of The Rock and the way that he would do things in the worst ways. Like he was doing an impression. But now that he's got something to sink his teeth into, I think he's just starting to get more comfortable and starting to figure it out in terms of being his own original character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked him tonight, and I'm starting, like you said, Alfred, I'm starting to turn around on him. I was like, did I just enjoy this? What's going on? But I did have a few drinks before. And it
That's what I need to do.
Yeah. Salty dog.
Yes, the salty dog fixes all. Weird, too, because grapefruit, salt, and vodka. Who would have thought that would be like a winning flavor combination?
That's really bitter.
Yeah, did you try one finally?
I haven't. No, I don't even know how to make one. I'm waiting for you to make one in Vegas. When we go to your house in Vegas, you're going to make me one.
Right.
Like two-thirds grapefruit, one-third vodka, salt the rim. Like, it's that simple.
There's a lot of recipes for it online.
Yeah, and there's
like different mixtures of it, because after you talked about it, I Googled it, and I'm like, I don't know which one he said, but now just got to, like, 21 minutes in, I have to go back and write it down.
Yeah, no, I've been doing that. I've been doing, like, a cognac sidecar with like Remy Martin lately. It's been kind of nice. Like a cognac sour. It's been good. Man. Yeah, Remy Martin, man. Can't sleep on that. That's some good stuff. Johnny Gargano's promo tonight out with Austin Theory. And talking about the heyday, the best was his 57-day reign as NXT champion. Crosses and on his level, but out comes Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan. And they had a civil exchange and both sides parted with mutual respect. No, that is not what happened. Theory's fingers. Oh, the finger bend. That, I pop for that every time. Like that's probably gimmicked, right? Like there's no way Pete Dunne is actually hurting his opponents with that. But every time I'm like, oh, that looks painful.
Do you ever bend your finger backwards just to see how far back you could go?
Oh, that's true.
Every time he does it, I know. Every time he does it, I'm like, how far back can I go without it hurting? Now, my fingers are double jointed, so I can actually bend pretty fast. Oh, so if he finds somebody that's double jointed, he can probably get away with making it look like he's bending their fingers all the way back. But agree, I fought for that every time. As stupid as I used to find it so stupid. I'm like, that don't hurt. And then the more that he does it, the more that I'm like, oh my God, he's actually hurting them. But I don't know what's going on with Pete Dunne. I thought he was going to be the next number one contender, and now he was in a tag match, and they lost. And now I feel like, are we done with that push? Because I remember a few weeks ago, we were kind of really high on Pete Dunne, thinking he would be the next one for Karrion Kross, and I think they're going in a different direction now. He attacked Gargano, so I'm a little confused here.
Well, if Karrion Kross isn't long for NXT and these, you know, reports lead to something of him leaving, I think Pete Dunne's one of those guys at the top of the list who can benefit. And also, they're doing a lot with him and Samoa Joe in terms of, this is what, the second week in a row now that they faced off. So I don't know what WWE's doing here or going for, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but they're doing a lot with Samoa Joe teasing matches with other guys that, I mean, they did one with Adam Cole, Karrion Kross, and now Pete Dunne. So we'll see where that goes.
If he really can't wrestle, it's borderline cruel, all these teardowns that we're getting with Samoa Joe. Also, I know it sounds horrible, but every time I see him on my TV, all I scream is, provoke him! I just want people to provoke him. I want him to punch people.
I want you to go to a live show and just yell that, provoke him!
Provoke him now!
Do you remember, I was in, maybe it was one of the NXT episodes they shot at WrestleMania Access, like in Dallas, but like Baron Corbin came out and like attacked Austin Theory or something. And one guy, and like Austin Theory was, it would, oh, he's a rye, or not Austin Theory, Austin Aries. And Austin, yeah, like, when had arrived, it was doing his thing, and like Baron comes out and attacks him. And it's like, when the audience is like, you took his moment from him. I love when people get very, when it's just silent and somebody shouts out one thing very specific.
Those, I think it'd be funny. Days, so when NXT was on Access and they would do those tapings at Access, and oh my god, it was so much fun to be part of that. Now they don't really do that much anymore. But Dallas was a fun one.
There are like 6 episodes of NXT that they taped that day that we were on the ramp in the audience for.
Really? Did the crowd eventually get tired, or how was the energy in the crowd?
It was really good. Like, and you know what's funny? That was the only session of Access that sold out the entire show. It was the day, it was the morning after TakeOver. They did it all. In fact, I had to buy tickets from like some dude on Craigslist, like, wow, because it was sold out. Yeah, I had to like go show up at some guy's hotel, like, get these tickets. Yeah, like, because I really wanted to go, because I was like, oh, they're taping NXT at Access.
Yeah,
I want to see this, and it was great. I mean, we saw like Enzo and Cass versus American Alpha. Like, they shot like Bailey's return, like Tessa got squashed in a match. Like, I mean, it was a long taping, but the energy was awesome.
It was the up time. There was also like, if you did Access the night where Hall of Fame is on, a lot of people do Hall of Fame. Guess what? Access is full of NXT stars. That I went there in Dallas as well. I met Bailey.
Yeah, Finn Balor, I was there that Asuka.
Night too. It's funny because we were probably sitting close to each other because I did all that. There was a segment where Finn Balor was, you know, talking to the crowd, and Kevin Owens interrupted him, and they were talking about how to get abs, like Finn Balor. Like, it was so much fun. It was, listen, they don't do those kind of things anymore with NXT.
That was, they did the Q&A, and they said this, and they never saw this printed anywhere, that Finn was out there with Enzo, and Finn was saying that Enzo did his body paint a lot of the time.
Yeah, I have the video of that Q&A. I still have it. I'm going to find that clip and I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah, it was like, because nobody ever talked about that. And I was like, because I'd be like, why has, I thought that was common knowledge, but apparently it was only mentioned there. But that night, my favorite moment, and I felt bad about this, super huge line for Bailey. Like, we didn't even bother to wait in it.
Yes,
and
I know what you're going
to
say.
They switched it to Howard Finkel, and you just saw like everybody like in a back out line.
Yeah.
They probably did that to Howard on purpose, though. If you heard the stories of how they treat him backstage, they probably knew that's exactly what happened, and they sent him out there.
Happened too in Orlando with which I feel bad because they're my fellow Puerto Rican dudes, but the colognes, like, I don't remember. It was Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin, and then they switched them to the colognes, and the line just slowly like emptied, and I'm like, that's mean.
And the thing I remember, and I've talked about this in the podcast, Tino Sabatelli sitting there by himself, like, annoyed. And like, I went up to get a photo because I felt bad for him, and he just seemed like he didn't want to be there. He was just very annoyed. And that's when I knew this kid was not going to make it in the business.
Right? I saw it happen to Ryback once toward the end of his run, and he looked pissed that like not a lot of people were there.
Yeah. Shut up, Ryback. Oh, I missed that. Yeah, Mania next year. Access, although, man, but that's the thing. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's so blown up now, you know? And everyone's a VIP signing. Like, I've heard it's changed a lot. But yeah, it was fun that year.
It has. The one that they did here for New York, it was like a whole different thing. Then again, New York is not a good place to hold these things. Like, they had like Access was over here, and WrestleMania was over here.
That was the best part about Dallas.
Over here. I didn't like Dallas.
Really?
It was over here, but the stadium was like an hour out.
We stayed at
the best one is always New Orleans. No, New Orleans is the best. Everything is walking.
New Orleans was great. New Orleans was very centralized for that.
I'm going to tell everyone now, if they do it at the same place when Mania goes back to Texas, there's an Aloft hotel there that's like the budget kind of W brand. Like, we stayed there. It was right across the street from the convention center. I think we only paid like $200 a night, which was cheap for WrestleMania. It was great. It's absolutely great. So Cameron Grimes came up in a Bentley and asked how Ted DiBiase's doing. Ari Sterling stopped him and joked about Grimes visiting DiBiase in the nursing home. So Grimes decked him with the right hand, dropping him.
Yeah, and he's going to be in action next week, but they didn't tell us against who, but it'd be good to see him back in action.
I agree. Yeah. Perhaps the biggest star, the biggest men's star, in all of NXT. No, in all of professional wrestling is Cameron Grimes. I've declared it.
And babyface Cameron Grimes, he's more liberal with his money in terms of donating his money to people, and he's not doing it in like a condescending way, but he's giving back to the people. So it's very nice to see.
That's good. When I'm rich, I will give back to the people, not in a condescending way.
Not a condescending way. No, 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 no. You don't throw it in their faces. You know, you just get your hand it in their hands.
Adam Cole was in the back, asked about Kyle O'Reilly, doesn't want to talk about Kyle Kushida, talks about what he did to Carmelo Hayes, but that's nothing compared to what he's going to do to Kyle at the Great American Bash. William Regal walks up, make sure there's no issues between Cole and Samoa Joe after last week, and Regal suggests that Cole doesn't provoke Joe.
Please do.
Yes. And then Cole says he's going to get out of there, man. So can Samoa Joe wrestle? Have we determined that, or he can't wrestle?
He's not cleared, as far as I know. There's no reports of him being cleared. So I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they know something that we don't. And I would like to think they do. I would like to think that they're confident he's going to get cleared, because I don't think there's any way. I mean, they built this show around all the guys who are going to challenge Samoa Joe in some sense. So I don't think any way they'd be doing this aggressively if he was not healthy.
In my notes, all I wrote is Samoa Joe is a tease. Yeah, is.
I have a comment. I'll save it for off the air. After that, we had Io Shirai and Zoe Star. Oh, no, wait. First, Gargano and Austin Theory walk into William Regal's office. Theory's fingers are taped up, and they're going to face Dunn and Lorcan in a tag match. Then we had Io Shirai and Zoe Stark versus Aaliyah and Jessi Camilla from the Robert Stone brand. Issa, what did you think of this match?
I don't like Io in a tag team, and I'm not going to let that go. I think she's a single star, and she should be in a singles feud, and whatever. You know, I thought the match was a lot of fun. I love seeing her back in the ring. I love seeing Io back on TV. I just didn't think they would put her in a tag team. That's all. I think she's set as a single star, and the fact that there's so many people that she could feud with, and the fact that she's not caring about her women's title is driving me crazy, because I just don't think that's who she is as a character.
Yeah. What did you guys think about Robert Stone's suit?
It was beautiful.
Is that the new thing now? He had like some, Beth called it a training bra, but he had some thing underneath it where it was crisscross patterned. I don't know what that was.
Somebody tagged me on Twitter and they say Robert Stone stole your shirt, because I was wearing like a crisscross shirt yesterday, and I'm like, come on. Yeah, I guess that's the new thing. He's trying to outdo Seth Rollins now.
Yeah. Oh, Alfred, what did you think of this match?
I thought it was fine. I mean, Io Shirai was great in there. I thought she didn't do too much, but I thought the stuff that she did looked excellent. And I liked the brawl after, how wild it looked. I thought they did a good job making that brawl look really cool.
Yeah, the brawl was a lot of fun. I love seeing Samoa Joe coming out and controlling everything. I bet Regal is backstage in his desk finally, like drinking like a shot of something, like, oh, I don't have to worry about this anymore.
Yeah, so Io Shirai and Zoe Stark won, and then LeRae and Hartwell rushed the ring. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez came out there. And, of course, we got Shotzi and Ember as well. Samoa Joe came out with security to try and restore order. Why are they not merging this with the main roster women's tag division?
They should. 100%. Yeah. I was just thinking about Tamina and Natalya the other day. Like, they have nothing to do. I mean, they're doing that thing backstage with the wrestling with Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, where they're doing the photo shoot thing, but they don't really have anything to do with wrestling-wise, and so it would be great if they merge these two divisions.
Yeah. They should have never created a second set of women's tag team championships.
Yeah. I thought it was weird that this was the first time we saw Samoa Joe in front of a live audience, and he came out, and people were very happy to see him, but, like, he comes out, they're like, Joe, it's Joe, and then he's just like, security, I need security, come on, security. It's like, that's the big thing that they have to have him out there for?
Yeah.
Just to prove that he's here to control chaos, because that's what he agreed to last week, I guess.
Yeah. Then we had The Way, Johnny Gargano, and Austin Theory versus Oney Lorcan and Pete Dunne in a tag match with The Way picking up a win. Alfred, what'd you think of this match?
It was very funny at first, and then it kind of slowly morphed into an actually legitimately good match. But, like, they did the whole thing where Austin Theory tagged himself in and his hand was hurting, and they were kind of changing on their way to the ring because they didn't have much time. So I thought that was kind of funny. But Austin Theory did this, what was it? It was a seated springboard Spanish fly that I thought looked awesome, where he did like a Spanish fly from his butt, and I thought it looked really cool. So this match was a lot of fun. It ended up being a lot of fun. I was actually kind of getting annoyed with how ha-ha it was at the beginning, but I thought it was very fun.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought it was a lot of fun to watch. It makes you kind of like keep an eye on the NXT tag team division again. I really do feel after last week's main event, and now you see this, that they're starting to rebuild that tag team division, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see all of these guys go at it. But again, it's Pete Dunne. I still wonder, but maybe it was just a one-off thing and we'll build him as a single star again. But I had a lot of fun watching the match. I just thought he was going to be the next person to go on a one-on-one with Karrion Kross.
Yeah. So after that, Karrion Kross attacked Gargano. And fans chanted, "You suck at Kross." Which is weird too. I don't know. I feel like that's sort of overdone. Do you think the fans really think Karrion Kross sucks?
I mean, they're presenting him as the heel in this scenario, but Johnny Gargano has been nothing but a heel this whole time. And I don't know about this one, man. I don't know about Karrion Kross and Johnny Gargano together, because he's a comedy character now. He's basically doing comedy a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And for Karrion Kross now coming in, I don't think there's any chance that Karrion Kross loses to Johnny Gargano based on just how they're booking him. And, you know, it's not really a match that I'm excited about in terms of how it can go. I mean, I know Johnny Gargano's great and everything like that, but I don't know about this.
Yeah, I felt that way as well. That's why I keep saying I thought it was going to be Pete Dunne. So I was like, well, I get it, because Johnny Gargano kind of called him out earlier and talked about how his reign was better. I honestly think I like Karrion Kross a lot, but I honestly think that his gimmick is confusing, and that's why he's not translating with fans. He played so many characters, and you don't know if he's, like I said earlier, a warrior, an ass kicker, a dark, mysterious person. I don't know what he is. But I don't know where this started, because I felt like everybody was very high on Karrion Kross, but now when I hear the crowds and go online, it doesn't feel like people are there anymore with him, and I don't know when that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I wonder about them splitting off Scarlett. Like, I wonder if Kross, I don't know. It seems like if he had upward momentum, they'd be called up together. They would keep that going. I wonder if they're losing some faith in him.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird. I think his problem is he's just in the wrong. I think he needs to get called up. The sooner he gets called up, the better. Like, I know people might think that he hasn't been in NXT for long enough. I just think he's just a fish out of water there. The longer he's been there, the more apparent that is to me. And there is a certain way they could have booked him to make him this dominant, mystique guy, but they're just not doing that. They're making him another guy. He is the champion. He does win all his matches, but I just think that every time I see him in there, especially when he's like that five-way or whatnot, even though some of these are pretty good matches, he always seems like kind of like he doesn't belong in there with the personnel that they have with the NXT right now. There's a lot of smaller guys do a lot of athletic moves, and I just don't think he fits into that.
I also love that you brought up the fact that people say he hasn't been there long enough. There's not a handbook that says people need to be in NXT for a certain amount of time. They have called up some guys that we never even seen wrestle really on NXT TV. There's some guys that have been there forever. There's not a handbook. If he's needed in the main roster and he will work out better in the main roster, then bring him up. The main roster does need a little bit of a injection of some fresh talent in there as well. But I don't understand that criticism. I know I always say don't call anybody up because they don't treat them the best, but it still doesn't mean that there's a handbook of how long they need to remain champion in NXT before they get called up.
I mean, I think we can all agree that Rick Boogs is like the best NXT call-up in recent memory.
Yeah, and he how many matches did he even wrestle in NXT?
Maybe a couple?
They did the same with Elias. Remember, Elias would just walk through the crowd, next thing you know, he's in the main roster. Like, wait, what?
Braun Strowman and almost, I don't think, had official NXT matches. I think most of their NXT matches were like live tours, and then they just decided to bring them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jenna Ness, Buck99, wants to know, are any of you actually going to SummerSlam?
Yes, that is a plan. And I'm very confident I'll be there.
Very confident.
As long as Glenn lets me stay in his place, 1,000%.
I'll give you the code. You know, I won't be there. Won't be done in time. I think we'll have floors. We won't have kitchen cabinets, though.
Maybe not. Who eats in Vegas SummerSlam weekend? It's all good. I don't need a kitchen.
True. Man, the DoorDash scene to my house is very legit. I'm very impressed.
Awesome. I can finally try Del Taco or whatever.
You can get it 24 hours a day delivered.
You told me that last time. See, I've been studying.
Very exciting. Not the best decision at 2 a.m. when you're playing Fortnite and just hanging out in an empty house. Think you know what I could go for right now? A burrito with fries. Like, probably not the best impulse to have.
No.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we got? Samojo backstage with Karrion Kross and Scarlett. Kross says, so these are the new rules. He reminds Joe he can't do anything unless provoked. Joe steps aside, and Kross and Scarlett exit the building, apparently kicked out. Scarlett stops and seethes at Joe. Joe turns around, and Pete Dunne staring him down. God, I just want them to, like, wrestle each other or make out or something. Like, all this tension.
Okay, so you said borderline cruelty. Like, after a segment like this where it's, like, one tease after another coming right after it, that is cruelty if he's not going to be coming back. They're doing way too much with him potentially wrestling in the future for me to believe that he's not going to get cleared in the future. I think he will. He has to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lonzo Smith is saying Karrion should be on Raw. You could have a first feud with Drew at bad news for Drew.
I mean, he's already lost 2 nights in a row. What's another one?
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing a losing streak gimmick with him and have him lose to Karrion Kross.
You think that's how Vince ever pitches it? No, we're doing like a losing streak gimmick. It's going to be a thing.
It's a gimmick. It's your character. Your character's a loser, not you.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to have Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart versus Zoe Stark and Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. The winner will challenge the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions at the Great American Bash. Love that they're building up the Bash. Loved last year's two-week event, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. They did do a part one, part two. Did very well on television, too.
Yeah, that's when Io beat Sasha. That was such a good match.
Mm-hmm. We had Electra Lopez versus Frankie Monet. Frankie getting a pretty easy win. I love me some Frankie Monet. Issa, what'd you think of this match?
Love Frankie Monet. And I actually really, really like Electra Lopez as well. I'm a big fan of hers. It was good to see her. I wish she would have debuted with a little more, like, let's highlight who she is. I think it was Carissa Rivera she used to go by. She's awesome. She is awesome. But Frankie Monet and that finisher is money. I love her. I just want her to – listen, they're building her up for something big, right? They keep giving her this win. So I'm excited to see what they do with her. I'm just as high as you are on Frankie Monet right now. But it was awesome to see Elektra.
One thing I like what they're doing with Frankie Monet is that her matches are being called, like, the world premiere was her debut. Yeah. This is her encore. I want them to keep going, like, next week's a trilogy. And then I don't know what the four would be, but they need to keep coming up with different terms for her next match.
Unplugged.
Yeah, unplugged.
Yeah. No, she's great. What do you do? Do you think you put her in the women's title picture?
Not yet. I think you just keep having her squash people. And part of that would be great if they keep calling those different matches and stuff like that, but you keep having her squash people and build her up, and then eventually, I think she should win when she's ready to challenge for that title. I think whether it's Raquel Gonzalez, if they're ready to move her up, or which I would love to see, but I think when she's ready to challenge for that title, they should go all the way with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. If you're ready to call Raquel, that will be somebody excellent for her to, you know, lose to the title too if she loses the title. I like her. I just wish she was in a you can build a one-on-one feud without involving the title. And I thought they were doing that with her and Io. At some point, they kind of teased her. They teased her with Mercedes Martinez too. So, I mean, you can also build a feud that doesn't have to have the title involved as well for her.
Bronson Reed doing an interview backstage. Interrupted by Hit Row. Man, like, it does a disservice to put anyone else in a segment with Hit Row. Like, Bronson looked like a lamp. Like, he just faded into the background.
He literally did, because they did do that camera shot with Ashanti where he looked at the camera and they blurred him out.
Yeah. It's not good.
I thought Bronson Reed lost me as soon as he says through the window, through the wall. I started singing and he completely lost me. I thought when Hit Row told him, you're not even from North America, fam. I was like, they're so good and entertaining. You're right. Anybody that's on a segment with Hit Row just fades because they're just stars. And I love seeing them in different fields, in different segments all throughout the show. Give me all the Hit Row. Book 2 hours around them at some point. I love them.
I didn't like the segment too, but I will say I thought Bronson Reed was very good. I liked that promo. It was kind of funny that he said the window on the wall, but he said it so deadpan. He was just listing it. But yeah, that didn't stand out that he said from the window to the wall.
Yeah. Tell me you didn't start singing in your head and forgot that he was cutting a promo.
The Ying Yang Twins have not, those songs have not aged well.
No. Well, I thought you said they've not, they're eight timeless. I'll argue that they're timeless. Shake It Like a Salt Shaker is a classic.
The what Whisper the- song. The Whisper song is a classic. We are still waiting to see it, but it was a classic.
What about the one they did with
the... Great story about that, the Whisper song.
Oh, yeah. Please,
I heard it. So they came to my hometown, and I went backstage to meet the Ying Yang Twins because my friend did security for them. And they played that song back when it was before it was about to come out. And I thought they were trolling me and my friend. I thought that I was like, there's no way this is an actual single they're going to do. They're not actually. And it like came on the next week and became a huge song. So, you know, I was one of the first people in the world to hear the Whisper song.
Wow. That's actually cool. What a flex. What a flex.
That was the album with the one with Adam Levine, the song, right?
I believe so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Which was like a weird
song with Britney Spears too.
Yeah,
yeah. The Adam Levine song was like a. It was like they listened to City High's "What Would You Do?" and like we need to write something like this that gets in touch with the people and the problems and the struggles.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man, City High. I like that came on in the mix the other day when I was driving. I was like, this is a really depressing song.
Yeah, yeah. It was a very heavy song, and City High had a couple of pretty big hits, and then just disappeared. What happened?
I don't know. There'll be a story. We'll find out one day what happened to City High. Inquiring minds want to know. Mackenzie Mitchell, the Bronson Reed thing. We talked about that. We talked about Hit Row. And then Ever-Eyes. Oh, those rascals. Spray painting Top Dollar's SUV, but he was caught. But they were caught earlier today. And then we had Ever-Eyes versus Hit Row. And Hit Row won, as they should.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I want NXT... I just want it to be Cameron Grimes, Hit Row, and Frankie Monet, and Shotzi and Ember with the tag titles.
Just there you go.
All the gold. That's what I want as the top talent in all of NXT.
Book it.
There you go. Book it. Yeah. Come on, Glenn. Write to them or something. Also, can we talk about the Hit Row song on like iTunes Spotify? It's actually good.
Very good.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, okay, this kind of slaps.
Very. I like how Top Dollar, the whole, because a couple of people were calling him Dollar King. And so the whole little match, he's like, you want to keep playing on my name?
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually funny.
He was good. When they do the pose together, like they are the most, they're like just the best looking faction in terms of, I mean, like it just looks so real. Like when Undisputed Era would get together and do their pose, I was like, this is forced. Like, this is some Power Ranger shit. Like, this isn't as cool as you think it is. But with Hit Row, it's cool, man. It's real.
It is, man. They've got the angles. Like, that overhead camera shot that they get.
Yeah.
Yes. Edward Cousins. This has to be true, because who would lie about this? His friend is the DJ for the Ying Yang Twins.
Wow.
Hey.
That's a flex.
Yes, DJ Scientist. That's a solid, solid DJ name. Alfred, if you were a DJ, what would your name be?
DJ Big Nasty.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Big Nasty.
Yeah,
what would yours be, Glenn?
What might be? I don't know. The first thing popped by, what was the joke in The Good Place? He was DJ Music.
Yeah.
I always think of that. No, Henry Rollins had a joke because he was making fun of house music, like DJ Fuckhead. I was just like, that's pretty good. No, I DJed before some gigs. Using the moniker Vic Payback for a while.
Vic Payback.
Well, it's a play on Vic Payback, who played Mel on the show Alice.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going deep.
That was like my Xbox screen name for a while. Like, yeah, Vic Payback. That shit was over. Steve Marcuccilli, 299. Any Tessa news? Cross needs squash wins.
There's no, Tessa Blanchard, there's nothing updated about her in terms of her coming to WWE or AEW or anything like that. She's just doing her thing right now.
She's training, though.
Yeah, she trains with a lot of WWE people and stuff like that. But in terms of her being on her way back or on her way to any of these promotions, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, same. I agree with the Cross and his squash wins. That's when I love Kieran Cross, when he squashed Shampaito. I was like, holy crap, this dude is for real. We need more of that.
Yeah. Jody Sean Jenkins, Canadian $2, saying LeBar would be DJ, put myself over.
Don't do Justin LeBar like that, Jody.
I miss Justin.
Me too. I haven't seen him in a month. We used to host a podcast every week, but AEW has gone on break on Wednesday. Oh, that's right. So.
Yeah. Justin LeBar is the man. I love him.
Shout out to Justin.
How are people handling that? That is weird that AEW has been on Fridays. There's been like no Wrestling Inc. AEW podcasts. Like,
yeah. We'll be back soon. After this Saturday will be the last preemption. And then starting in July, they'll go back to that Wednesday schedule. So I'm looking forward to that.
I need them to go back to Wednesdays. I don't even know when they're on anymore. Yeah. Like, it needs to stop.
Does like every sport have their playoffs or something over the 6-week period?
No, but a couple of them do. I mean, this is one of the, especially basketball. And the thing is, Turner and the NBA are really tight together. TNT does a lot of basketball programming. So with the NBA having playoffs, they have to kick AEW off.
Not baseball. Baseball gets their playoff. We'll see SmackDown take a hit because he has to go to FX1.
Yeah,
I remember that. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Mercedes Martinez backstage. She's going to face Boa and Zia Lee in a mixed tag match next week. With Jake Atlas, I guess.
Because love that pairing. Love that pairing. Yeah, cool. I can't wait to see them in action together.
Yeah,
Jake is awesome. Then we had the NXT Cruiserweight Champion Kushida face Kyle O'Reilly in a non-title match. And, I mean, okay, let's go with the thoughts. Alfred, yours first. I'll tell you mine.
Okay. I mean, this is a fine match. It's a weird choice for the main event. I'm very interested to see what the number will do. But they worked it like it was an MMA match. They had a good chemistry together. I mean, I've seen them wrestle in Japan before. They did a lot of grappling. I felt like it took a while to kind of get going into the striking. But it was a fine match. It was a good wrestling match, I thought. But the whole thing, I was kind of distracted because I was thinking about the Diamond Mine the whole time. Like, are they going to debut these guys? Or that, what I was thinking was that they weren't going to debut. And, like, it was going to be storm on Twitter. Like, you told us. But they did.
Yeah, so. I thought it was a fun match. I thought there was a lot of fun wrestling tonight on NXT. However, as soon as you say non-title match, I'm not invested because I know what's going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. Kyle O'Reilly won. Why? Because it was a non-title match. I hate when champions get pinned on TV for no reason whatsoever. I don't feel like that gets anybody over, only to build, you know, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. But like you said, I was more invested into his Diamond Mine coming, A and B. I know Kyle O'Reilly's winning, so why should I really get invested here?
Yeah.
I did see something. I just remembered that they have that battery charging gimmick that they've been doing. So it got 30%, 41%, 51%.
They're using one of those like cheap chargers from the gas station to charge that battery. They need to get a rapid charger in there because, oh my God.
It's like some USB 1.0 shit.
Yes. Okay.
Half an amp power block. I just have a legit conversation about iPhone chargers all night.
Yeah.
And love the conductive charging, except it's not as fast. Like, it's cool you put it on a pad, but it's slow as hell.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Very annoying. Very annoying. Love my rapid charger, though, for my iPhone. So this was, in my mind, this was like a paint-by-numbers NXT main event. Mm-hmm. Very good wrestling. Likeable wrestlers out there having a fine match. Good action. Oh, picture in picture during the commercial.
Yeah.
A little distracted for the commercials for the Forever Purge. Looks a little like they're mixing some Saw elements into the Purge franchise.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could get down with that. I'm not a huge Saw or Purge fan, but the idea of mixing them together, like, you know.
I'm a big Saw fan until they killed them Jigsaw and then they went in this weird twist that made no sense with the story.
You know, I've read Wikipedia on all the Saw entries. Only ever seen the first one, and I just watched it like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, the first one is a classic.
First one
and the
was
way
good.
That they made that movie happen in such a low budget and it still ended up being successful, it was good up to probably like Saw 3 or 4. Then after that, it was just like, what? it made no sense.
Most underrated horror franchise of the last 20 years is Final Destination.
I was just thinking about that. That's what I thought about when I saw those Purge previews. It's Final Destination.
Well, they lost Final Destination in a couple of the makes, like I think like 4 or 5. But then the final one, how they kind of like wrapped the story together, they saved it there. Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, we watched all the Final Destinations for the first time over like 4th of July weekend. And like Very, very solid. Really,
I actually just did that during the pandemic. Really? I watched so many of the horror franchises, like it was a thing that I did. I'm a big horror movie fan.
They're out of print, but there's like a dozen novels that are like totally different scenarios and groups of people that I guess were published in like the mid-2000s. I've been meaning to find like PDFs of them and read them because they sound interesting. But anyhow, and that's the thing, the Forever Purge had my attention more than the main event tonight because I was like, this is good, but like, again, it's like when I eat Del Taco every night, I'm like, Del Taco's good, but I'm kind of used to it now. NXT's main event. And then, bam, Diamond Mine at the end. And again, you've got Malcolm Bivens out there, and you're not letting him talk.
Maybe he'll talk next week. We'll see where it goes, you know?
Yeah, he's going to he's gonna have to say something in terms of what this is, what it means, why they're here. Why do you need three guys to win a Cruiserweight title? Like, there's a lot of questions he needs to answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, so you stack the show, right? But then maybe if you didn't have the time that you needed to give them, then save it for a different week and don't announce it, you know? But yeah, it was weird. It was a weird debut. I don't know why they announced it. The whole thing felt weird, but I'm looking forward. I'm finally glad that they're here, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do.
Yeah.
They have a good mouthpiece, that's for sure.
Sometimes you can be super talented, but just have a bad debut, like Brendan Fraser and Encino Man. You know, it really didn't showcase his talents, but we all knew we loved Brendan Fraser as a country, as a world. And then we went on to see what he was capable of.
Yeah. Went into The Mummy and did very well for himself.
Mummy was very good. Blast from the Past, movie that doesn't get talked about enough.
Scorpion King.
Scorpion, yeah. And then he just like, dropped off the face.
Bedazzled. Is that what that movie's called? Bedazzled?
Monkey Bone, Gods and Monsters. Yeah, yeah. Solid run. George of the Jungle.
Oh, yeah.
And Dudley Do-Right, making like a little thing. Maybe Diamond Mine. So there's your future Diamond Mine. You're the Brendan Fraser of professional wrestling. I think it was a good debut. Again, like the faction, just think the debut was not this strong. And Alfred, to your point, like when they announced it, they were going to do it. I mean, if you're going to make an announcement, man, like you really got to pay off. Like you could do a surprise and just have it be kind of low key. I don't know.
Yeah, this as a complete surprise would have been much better, especially with Roderick Strong. Because, you know, I like Roderick Strong and stuff like that, but he's not worthy of this, like, oh, somebody's coming and it's Roderick Strong. That's what I went for.
Okay, yeah, that was not me. I didn't put that out in the world.
No offense, but just, you know.
The problem is that you're not wrong. That's what makes it like, it's like, I mean, yeah, there's no argument.
Who could have been more anticlimactic than Roderick Strong? Like,
that's a good question. Drake Maverick, maybe? No, I love Drake. I'm just saying because he's already there and like it would have been anticlimactic.
No, I think with Drake, it would have actually got people's attention more because like Drake getting like a real like gimmick that actually and put him in there with Malcolm. Like, ooh, that's actually like that's kind of hot.
I also say Drake because the promos and vignettes made you think that this was going to be like an MMA faction, a bunch of tough shooters and stuff like that. And so if it was Drake, it'd be like, wait, what?
Roderick Strong is like the Toyota Tercel of professional wrestlers.
Wow, what a reference. What a reference.
Expand on that. What do you mean by it was?
It's like dependable, great gas mileage, handles really well for a mid-level car. But
nobody goes
like,
to the dealership and says, oh, I want to buy a
really
Toyota
excited about the Tercel. It's not a Camry.
You have to be talked into getting a Toyota Tercel. Right. And you get it, you're happy with it.
Yeah, you're like, you know, this was really good value. They said this was all I could really afford. The car payments are affordable.
You apply for the Camry, and the salesman comes back and said, listen, I cannot get you in the Camry, but I can get you into this.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, you don't like the Tercel? How about a Yaris? And you're like, I'll take the Tercel.
Oh, Glenn.
Really excited that Malcolm Bivens is doing something, though.
Yeah, I was very excited to see him back. That's great. Yeah. And Tyler Rust. I really like Tyler Rust. Like, in the couple of weeks that he had matches before he disappeared, he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be another, like, Raw Underground. Instead of a faction, I thought they were going to, like, have somebody fight in some weird, like, scenario like that. So I'm glad that's not what it was.
The full clip is asking, a little outdated on wrestling affairs, but at this point in time, what would you be your super match right now?
Wow. Of all time?
Well, no, like now. Like
my fantasy book.
Yeah, fantasy book right now. Like current. Let's say NXT. Let's keep it on topic for tonight.
What do you think, Isa?
NXT? Man, you kill my vibe. Also, we hear like the Rock and Roman Reigns. Give it to me,
bro. Yeah, it works, man.
I would like to see the Undisputed Era in a Fatal 4-Way. Oh. Just to put it to rest.
That's good. Alfred?
Not to sound too basic, but Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar is a match I've been very interested in for a while now. And I think if they
aren't just, we all?
I think a lot of people love that, and I think they're sleeping on it.
I would like to see Cameron Grimes defeat Karrion Kross.
Oh, I would have no problem
with that. Wow, that was a swerve right there.
I would also like to see Cameron Grimes team up with Hit Row. Not join Hit Row, but I would love to see like an alliance form. Those would be some golden promos.
Cameron Grimes could be like the manager who funds their music career and then steals money and stuff like that. That could be something there.
I mean, it ends with them beating up Cameron Grimes. That's like the end of the story. Sure.
Yeah. You know. Like the NWA story. If you watch NWA, it's basically, you know, they had the manager who they fell out with.
Jerry Heller.
Yeah, yeah.
I was Facebook friends with him before his death, and I've been meaning to read his book.
Wow. Upon his death, did they stop? Did he unfriend you?
I don't know if it got switched to a tribute page. It's interesting, though, right? I mean, you have to look. I mean, and Easy and him were tight until Easy's death. I mean, you have to look at, regardless of the internal conflicts and whatnot, like Jerry Heller is still a huge part of hip hop history. He's perhaps like the first, I mean, he was like the first record company villain in hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, because even when the Beastie Boys left Def Jam, they weren't like dissing Russell.
Right.
You know? So yeah, Heller's like an interesting cat. I've heard his book is good. It's called Ruthless, of course. So I'm interested to give it a read. It's
his records.
Yes, but his camera grabs could be the Jerry Heller. And then Hit Row can cut the diss track.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. They can go all kinds of ways with this.
Our talents are wasted here on this podcast. Okay, so on that note, tune in not tomorrow night. AEW is not on tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's not. Saturday.
Friday. We're going to be back, the three of us. What compact economy cars will we compare the SmackDown roster to? Tune in to find out. She is at NYC Demon Diva. That's Diva with a one. He is at This Is Nasty. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Greatly appreciate a follow. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Give us a rating and review. Smash that notification button so you'll be notified. I don't know when we go live or post a new video. And until then, folks, catch you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Have a great night.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.